Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and hope you can even join in the conversation here this evening. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. The toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's our call-in number. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us, 888-677-9673 if you have trouble with the toll-free number. We also have the regular line, 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. But you're always welcome on our toll-free line, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray that you bless now. Use the program tonight for your glory, and just pray, ask that you would help us, direct us, guide us, Lord, to be able to talk about things you'd have us talk about this evening. Help us be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us point people to Christ that people might be saved, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we're getting on the air here tonight, the month of August is running out very quickly, less than an hour to go in the month of August. Tomorrow is going to be September 1st, Labor Day, and I hope that you have a good day. A lot of people probably taking the day off tomorrow, and I hope you have a good time. Enjoy. It's kind of the unofficial end of summer, the Labor Day. The unofficial start of summer is usually the Memorial Day weekend. But getting that time of year, it's almost kind of bittersweet because I love autumn. I just love the changes and everything. But yet it's kind of bittersweet because we know wintertime is only a not too distant future, I guess, not too far away, and it's getting closer. But at the same time, it's always the changes that we get to see is a cycle of the seasons. And, of course, here in northeastern Ohio, we see it a little bit more than you do in Florida, and my wife and I spent 4 years as missionaries in the Samoan Islands, and we were just a little bit below the equator, less than 15 degrees below the equator, land of eternal summer, I guess you could call it, in the Samoan Islands. And, you know, being a product of the Midwest, most of my life living in northeast Ohio and having spent time in Colorado and England as well, and you know, you're used to the way the seasons go and the progress, but even in the tropics, I noticed that you know, different plants that start blooming at different times, and there was a cycle of sorts, and you just get attuned to it wherever you live, and you can catch the cycle of the seasons. And it's really kind of interesting, the world that God has given to us. And as beautiful as it is, you have to remember the Bible says the whole world groans under the curse because of sin. And as beautiful and as wonderful as this world is and the things in it, it's a cursed world. It's not perfect. It's not what God originally intended it to be. One day, the Bible tells us there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I believe it'll be restored to the splendor that it was prior to the interest of sin into God's creation. And of course, it's the reason that we need a Savior is because of sin. And so that's hopefully our goal with this program, is to help people to understand the Bible, realize that it's reasonable to believe that the Bible is just what it says it is, God's Word, and then to find out who God is and what God expects of us so we can trust Christ as our Savior and know that we have a home in heaven for all eternity. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673, and we have Fran on the line already. Fran, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening.
I'm calling in about Syria. Are American troops going over there now, or as part of our, you know, in this Syria there?
In Syria? Well, yeah. I would be surprised if there aren't some unofficial isn't some unofficial presence of American troops, maybe special forces of some sort in parts of Syria. I think it would make sense. And the reason for that is, of course, we've got the Islamic State. And I really believe we're seeing the, unless something comes up to change things, I think we're seeing the formation of a country before our eyes. We're seeing the formation of a country. They call themselves the Islamic State. And they are a fundamentalist Muslim country. They are practicing what the Quran teaches, what the Hadith teach. And this group, they've been variously referred to as ISIS or ISIL, the Islamic States of Iraq and Syria, things of that nature. And they've simply called themselves the Islamic State today. And they have been carving out a territory. It's larger than Jordan. If you look on a map, you see where Israel is and Syria, and you see the nation of Jordan. It's larger than Jordan today. They have essentially a functioning government and army. They're pulling in, I think I heard someplace, about $4 million a day through oil sales. They've got oil fields and things like that. They've got a lot of weaponry, some of the best in the world, because it's stuff that we had left for the Iraqis. And as the Iraqi troops fled or were killed, they took those weapons. And so they control area that's in both Iraq and Syria. And I think that certainly somebody from the military is probably involved in trying to get in and make some attempts to at least get information and try to undermine some of the Islamic State's goals. Now, as far as sending actual troops in, we have been using air attacks to bomb some of the Islamic State's positions, and we've been trying to encourage, for instance, the Kurds in Iraq to fight, and they were successful, I believe, in taking back the Mosul Dam. And so there's some success there. But we've had some advisors, I believe, working with them as well, and probably some special operations people. But as far as Syria goes, of course, if you heard our president this past week, you know, he gave the green light for terrorist activity. I hate to say it, when he told the world that this administration has no strategy for dealing with the Islamic State. And I think it's not coincidental that the very next day the British raised their terror level to the second highest alert level for Great Britain. I don't think that's a coincidence.
I was concerned because my grandson's in military in Afghanistan twice, and I'm hoping they're going to retrain him to go over there. I'm really concerned, you know.
Right.
That's the reason I asked the question.
Yeah, I think right now probably the biggest thing that would be going into Syria itself is just like in Iraq, airstrikes. And whether that be Air Force going in or Navy going in from some carriers off the coast or something like that, I can see that happening. And as far as large-scale troops, I know the administration has indicated that they're not going to do that or they don't want to do that. But, you know, things, unfortunately, in the world we live in can change with a moment's notice. And we're coming up fast on the anniversary of the September 11 attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and all of that that took place back in 2001. And right now, Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State are kind of rivals. Islamic State really is, even though they're sort of the new kids on the block, they're also the ones that are showing themselves to be more robust and more on fire from the Islamic standpoint. And they are attracting people to their cause from all over the world, not just the Middle East. And it's just like that that journalist that was killed, that journalist that was killed, and they published the beheading on the internet. The individual that did that was a British citizen, they believe. They believe they've identified him. He was a rap singer, British rapper. And he was not British as in an immigrant to Britain. He was Anglo-Britain. Anglo-Brit.
He was an Englishman.
Yeah, of Anglo ancestry. And and they're really worried about that because there's been thousands of people coming from Great Britain, from Canada, from America, from Australia, and elsewhere across Europe and such, going in to fight with the Islamic State, not fight against them, but fight with them to carry out jihad. And these people are returning back to the United, or back to their home country on their passport. There's no no-fly list name with them, things of that nature. They can come in. And I think I read somewhere just recently, and I'm going out kind of on a limb here, that Britain believes that they have a couple hundred of these people right now in Britain that have been in the Middle East fighting alongside of the Islamic State, and that they're in Britain, and that they may be willing to carry out attacks in Britain. That's partly why they raised their terror alert to the second highest. Our country really should probably raise its alert level. They've got credible threats along the southern border, El Paso, Texas, and the Air Force Academy. There's been some threats, I guess, made against that. Chicago, Las Vegas, Times Square, things, I guess they've picked up, especially regarding, the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks.
Right.
And these people want to attack us again. And again, it's because we're not Muslims. It's because we do not believe what they believe. They view us as the enemy. They view us as the house of war and to be conquered for the cause of Islam, for the cause of Allah. And, of course, that's their goal. And you can read things like that online. For instance, the group that's troubling Israel right now, Hamas, that controls the Gaza Strip. On the Hamas charter, depending on the exact translation from the Arabic, they have in Article 8 the slogan of Hamas, which I'll give you two translations of it from Arabic to English. One is, Allah is its goal, the Prophet its model, the Quran its constitution, jihad its path, and death for the cause of Allah its most sublime belief. Here's another English translation that says, Allah is our goal, the Prophet is our leader, jihad is our way, and death for Allah is our most exalted wish. And, this group here, Hamas, which is, according to its charter, the wing of the Muslim Brotherhood in the Gaza Strip, this group is virtually identical to the to Islamic State. The Islamic State is also a spinoff of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's a spinoff of Al Qaeda. Al Qaeda itself is a spinoff of the Muslim Brotherhood, and this is their goal as well. And when you read jihad, its path, and death for the cause of Allah, whether it's the most sublime belief or their most exalted wish, jihad, the path or the way, jihad means not the search for inner peace. It means carrying the fight to the unbelievers and striking terror in the unbelievers, death for Allah. It's right there in their charter. This is their goal. Now, how do we fight this? Do we get all scared and fearful? No. We need to go to Christ. And when we see people, I know you started the call with questions about people going into Syria, and we do need to defend ourselves, and that's where the military comes in. But ultimately, the battle is spiritual.
course.
This is why we need to raise up a generation of godly young men and women that'll stand for Christ. You know, we have had it so easy in our country, really, and other parts of the world, too. There's parts of the world, of course, where it's been difficult, where it's been dangerous to be a Christian. But, you know, here in the United States of America, it's been pretty easy to be a Christian for most of us. And, you know, most of us in our lives, we haven't had to worry about death. We haven't had to worry about, real severe persecution for being a Christian. I know persecution can be a pretty loose term, and somebody rolling their eyes at you can be a form of persecution, but it's certainly a lot different than having somebody threaten to take your head off or to torture you. We've had it very easy. We've been, if I might use the phrase from the Bible, at ease in Zion for quite some time. But there's a very real spiritual battle in the world around us, and because we've been so at ease in Zion, you know, we've kind of sat out on the sidelines. We've not prayed for the world like we should. We've not gone out into the world with the gospel as we should be. We've not stood for the truth as we should. And as a result, we've reached the point where the devil has made headway through groups like the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas and all of this. And the weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We've allowed the devil to establish strongholds around the world. When Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, we haven't been doing that like we should. We've made attempts, but not to the extent that we should. I've heard the statistics in the past, and I'm sure they haven't changed, that Americans spend more on pet food than they do in reaching the world with the gospel. And I pray for our military, and I encourage everybody, pray for our military. They go in harm's way. They do dangerous things. They try to take out dangerous people because we live in dangerous times. But ultimately, the battle has to be fought in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
If you have a cancer and all you do is treat it with aspirin and things like that, pain relievers, you're never going to defeat the cancer. You have to go in and root out the cancerous cells themselves destroy them in order to get rid of the cancer. And all we've been doing, you know, the military's great, but it's not attacking the root cause. And, you know, our government, and I'm not going to single out the Obama administration on this, because George W. Bush was pretty much as bad. They did not want to recognize that at the root, this is a spiritual battle that we're involved in, with spiritual evil, spiritual wickedness in high places, and that we need to fight that battle, and we need to reach these people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate the call tonight, Fran. Thank you so much for that, and certainly pray that your son doesn't have to go over there, but if he does, that the Lord will watch over him. And certainly all of those that might be in harm's way. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. We've got Edward calling in tonight. And Edward, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, I got a couple of comments regarding Islam versus the United States.
Yes, sir.
I just tuned in a few minutes ago, when I was listening to your program, my comment based on the last few minutes would be Leviticus 26. I could go with Deuteronomy 28, but I think I'm going to focus on Leviticus 26 and a little bit of history, such as approximately 700 years before Isabella in Spain, the Visigoth kings in the southern part of Spain, if I got my history right. And I'm pretty much going from a book written by a Catholic author called Isabella, the Last Crusader, or something like that. I didn't read the whole book, but I read parts of it. And they were decadent.
Right.
And they were taken over by vibrant, radical Muslims. It was probably a judgment of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I go to Leviticus 26, which refers to the Israelites, of course, at the time that it was written, but it could also have been applied to the Spaniards and present-day America.
Right.
And I forget which verse it is, but it's I'm just going to refer to the whole chapter, Leviticus 26. It's good to read. It's similar to Deuteronomy 28, but I'm going to use Leviticus 26 because even though, like Deuteronomy 28, it teaches that God was going to bless his people if they obeyed him and curse them if they disobeyed, in Leviticus 26 of the King James Version, it teaches that terror can be a result of a people that disobey God's commandments.
Oh, absolutely. And just to interject here, when you read the book of Judges, you see much of the same thing. Because remember Gideon,
mm-hmm.
when he was winnowing his wheat and he was hiding it because he was afraid of the, I believe it was the Moabites were going to come and attack him and
yeah.
steal the wheat. They had him under terror, and you're absolutely right. It was judgment because they disobeyed God.
Yeah, now, what I see the Muslims are doing, and
mm-hmm.
and this is, the principle is scriptural, and that is, they are taking their book, which I don't believe,
right.
But they're taking their book much more seriously than a lot of people who claim to be Christians are taking the Bible. I mean, they
oh,
are.
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right with that.
I mean, I don't agree with Islam. I mean, there are some Muslims on a personal level. I like them,
mm-hmm.
and I care about them. And the Quran is similar to the Bible in some ways, but it is different.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of profound differences. You're absolutely right.
But they are applying, they prove that they believe the Quran because they are applying their book to their societies,
mm-hmm.
to the tune of at least 57 Islamic states and counting with ISIL or ISIS. They're trying
yeah.
to found an Islamic caliphate.
Exactly. That's what they call themselves.
And they are very zealous, and if one would just take, for example, like Saudi Arabia, look at their found or their basic document that's other than the Quran, and they don't call it a constitution because I think that in their basic legal societal document, which in our country we would call a constitution, I believe that in Saudi Arabia, and I'm just using them for an example because they're an Islamic country, I believe, if I remember correctly, that they call the Quran their constitution or something like that.
Right.
Now, if we would just...
Yeah, I was going to say the quote that I read from the Hamas charter, that's exactly what they say, is that the Quran is their constitution.
Yeah, that's why I was referring to Saudi Arabia for an example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we would just take just about any one of these 57 and counting Islamic states and look at their basic legal societal document that's other than the Quran and how they exalt the Quran, if we would just unplug, if we would take the wording, okay,
mm-hmm.
and unplug what they've got and then plug in the Bible and then apply it to our country or do something similar to that, such as theonomically amending the American Constitution to subject it to the scriptures, if we would just work toward that end, I think that we would be better off than where we are right now, because you can't really win a contest if you're going to not show up and play on the court. You have to.
Right.
There has to be an opposition, and as long as we're going to stay out of the fight by keeping things like just spiritual and not earthly, I think we're going to lose an earthly battle, and I think that there is, I mean, the Bible doesn't just talk about spiritual things, it also talks about earthly things in both Old and New Testaments.
Right, and God did raise up, if you remember, when Israel went in to conquer the Promised Land, recall, God actually used the Jewish people to bring judgment against the inhabitants of the land, which
Correct.
Were not the present-day Palestinians, as they call themselves. They were the Canaanites, and because of their idolatry and their spiritual wickedness, God used the Jewish people as a tool of judgment to drive them out of the land, and he used the Jewish army, you know, under Joseph, or Joshua, remember?
Yeah, right.
And he led them in military campaigns, and you're right, but, and also there's the spiritual aspect, and we've kind of divorced that from our country, both politically and militarily, we've forgotten, you know, the God that helped found this country.
Yeah, I think the book of Joshua talks about that, and mm-hmm. it basically, if I can summarize the book of Joshua, in addition to what you were saying, it shows that the Canaanites and other other inhabitants of the land, which were idolaters, were judged by God. God used his chosen people at that time, which were the Israelites in the Old Testament, and once they waged war against those people and cleared some of them out. They didn't clear them out entirely,
right.
But once they cleared some of them out, then there was peace.
Yeah,
before the peace, there was war.
Yeah, in fact, it's kind of interesting. I don't remember the passage right off the top of my head, but the Bible says that God told them that he was going to, I think it's toward the end of the book of Joshua, that he would leave some of the people in the land.
Yes.
That should they forget God, should the Jewish people forget God, that he would allow them to rise up to be essentially thorns in their flesh. In other words, that he would use them to trouble Israel to get them to come back to God. And then, of course, you see that in the book of Judges. Hey, I'm running out of time this time. You had a lot of good information there. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for that input in our program.
Okay.
We've got another half hour to go, and I hope you'll stick with us and join us for the second half of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Glad to have you with us tonight. Hope you'll stick with us. We'll be here till midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to join in our conversation here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Telephone lines are wide open. You can get in right now if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church, my church, the church that I pastor, my home church, and that, of course, sponsors the program here. You've heard information on that. It'll be more at the end of the program. And also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. Garfield Heights, East Coast Pizza is the home of the homemade pizza. They got calzone strombolis. They've got sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school at 4889 Turney Road, 216-341-9100. If you're interested in getting into your own pizza business, and whether you're in Ohio or Florida or somewhere in between, if you'll call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. I was talking with somebody here at the radio station one time, and we were talking about pizzas, and I said the two keys to a really good pizza is the sauce and the crust. You have to have a good dough to make a good crust, and Gus came up with his own sauce, his own crust, and God's blessed him with that. It's fantastic, and if you want to get in your own pizza business, he'll help you get going and license his crust and sauce recipes to you. Give him a call, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. And if you don't want to get started in the pizza business, call him for pizza, and you'll love it. All right, we're going to get back to our program here this evening, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, love to hear from you tonight. And we're coming up on a holiday weekend, or a holiday, I should say. It's already the holiday weekend. And the last official day of summer, Labor Day weekend, and Labor Day celebrations tomorrow. And even if all you do is just grill a hamburger or a hot dog in the backyard and you take advantage of the day. But most importantly, and this is something we ought to remember whenever we have holidays like this, we ought to thank God for the freedoms that He gives us, the freedoms that He gives us to be able to enjoy a weekend like we've had, a celebration like Labor Day or Memorial Day or 4th of July or any of these other holidays that we celebrate. And those are, of course, secular holidays, and we remember the freedoms that God has blessed this country with. And we talked a little bit about our country there going into the break in the last half hour. And if you think about it, we're a nation that's unique from other nations in the world. We were founded really on an idea. Ideas of freedom, ideas that there is a God and that He wants to work in this world through people, and the understanding that we have certain rights and certain things that God has given to us. You know, the Constitution, I'm sorry, the Declaration of Independence, if you think about it, when it starts out, it says that they understand that the laws of nature and nature's God entitles these rights to us. And he goes on to say that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's twice in the Declaration. And this is really the founding document of our country. In the first two paragraphs, it recognizes God. the laws of nature, nature's God in the first paragraph, and then in the second paragraph, our Creator. And then it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And that recognizes that our government is distinct. And that's where they set up a representative democracy, or I guess you could call it a democratic republic, would probably be a better way to put it. And they set that up so that we could have one nation under God. And they understood that man needed something to control him. That's why we don't have anarchy. We can have anarchy. Just everybody does what they want. Everybody just goes out. If you feel like driving on the right side of the road at 10 miles an hour, that's fine. If you feel like driving on the left side of the road at 100 miles an hour, that's fine. Do whatever you want. Who's to tell you you can't do something? Well, the problem with anarchy is most people are not going to be willing to act right. They're going to do whatever they want, and they're going to cause problems. They're going to be in conflict with each other. I was sharing with our church how yesterday my wife and I were driving, and I was pulling into this one intersection to make a left-hand turn, and a car came up. I was already partway into the intersection. It was a large intersection, several lanes, actually two lanes making the left-hand turn, and a car coming from the other side decided to make a right on red. Well, to make a right on red, there's a couple of requirements. One is that you stop and look and make sure the coast is clear. And then number two, you make sure that you yield to those that have the right-of-way. Well, this car come flying into the intersection, didn't stop, barely slowed down, and then tried to cut us off as we were pulling into the intersection. And then when they saw us and saw that we were there, they pulled into the lane that fed into our lane, and then I don't know if they tried to get around us or what, and I'd accelerated to get away from them, and then they looked at us like, well, what do you think you're doing? Like we were totally in the wrong. Now, see, with no laws whatsoever, you know, who would be saying that they're wrong? But because of traffic regulations, rules that we have, I was able to say, you know what? We're in the right. We had the right of way. There was a green arrow for us. They were supposed to stop. They were supposed to yield. That's the law. Now, why is the law there? The law is to help regulate our behavior. And the reason that we have a constitution, the reason that we have laws in our country is because the founding fathers of this country, they understood the Bible. They understood that everyone is a sinner. They understood that man needs something to keep him in line. And that's why we need a Savior. See, as a Bible-believing Christian, I would never say that everybody is basically good. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's why we're sinners. We are sinners. We sin. That's our nature. Now, let me ask you this. How many lies do you, or, well, let me go something more recognizably evil. How many murders do you have to commit to become a murderer? Do you have to commit a dozen murders? Or do you have to commit two murders? Or just one? Well, the answer is you only have to murder one person to be considered a murderer. How many things do you have to steal to become known as a thief? You have to steal 100 things or 10 things? No, you only have to steal one thing to become known as a thief. All right, with that in mind, how many lies do you have to tell to become a liar? Well, only one. Well, how many sins do you have to commit in order to become a sinner? You have to commit a bunch of sins? No, just one. And you know what? We've all lied, so we're sinners in that respect. The first time somebody tells you that they've never lied, they're lying right there. You know, they know they've lied. A friend of mine was working at a fair this past week, and they have a a display at the fair, and it says, see three things God cannot do. And the first one, of course, is God cannot lie. And I've helped him out, and I've used that as well, and I've challenged people. I've said there's something here behind this first door that God can't do that every single person here at this fair can do. And a lot of times people say, oh, no, that's not so. God can do everything. There's nothing God can't do. He can do everything. And I said, I guarantee what's behind this door, God cannot do, and I am glad that God cannot do it. And we'll go back and forth for a few minutes, and then, of course, after talking for a few moments about it and trying to see what they can guess, what they can come up with, I'll pull the door open, and behind the door, it's got a verse, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible in Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I say, see it right there, God cannot lie. That's chapter and verse. God cannot lie in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I said, see here, God cannot lie. That's something that we as human beings can do, and we do it all too well. We begin learning how to lie, I think even before we begin to talk, we learn how to lie. And you know, we see that God cannot lie, and I'm glad for it. And that, of course, means that I can believe what God says because he cannot lie. But here's the problem. And after people realize, and oftentimes people will chuckle and say, well, no, you're right. I admit it. I didn't think there was anything God can't do, but you're right. You got me there. God cannot lie. And then they'll chuckle, and I'll say, well, you've never lied, have you? And I like it doing that with kids when their parents are there, and their parents will kind of look at them and give them that look, you know, and then the kids will kind of sheepishly say, oh, yeah, I've lied. And yeah, if we're honest, we've all lied. We know we have, and there's no use denying it. And then after talking about that for a few moments, then I point out something that's very serious. In Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in verse number 8, the Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that's pretty serious, and usually about that time people sober up. You know, they're willing to kind of giggle and sheepishly admit, yes, I've lied. But then when they see this verse, that all liars, along with all these others in there, murderers and sorcerers, idolaters, whoremongers, etc., all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is the lake of fire. This is eternal punishment. It's not like like the Seventh-day Adventists teach, that you get thrown into the lake of fire and you poof, you burn up like a piece of tissue paper or something like that. No, it is the eternal lake of fire. The Bible says over in Revelation chapter 14, describing this place, talking about those that are in the lake of fire. The Bible says in Revelation 14 and verse number, we'll start in verse 9. It says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. See, it says the smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever. Now, people who believe that it's just being burnt up and that's it say, well, the smoke, the residue, that's what they're talking about. Well, all right, let's go a little bit further here. at the end of Revelation chapter 19. And while I'm turning there, let me remind you that you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got open lines here tonight, and we were kind of busy in the first half hour, but we've got open lines right now. Give us a call if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. 888-677-9673. Well, getting back to Revelation chapter 19, the Bible talks about Jesus coming and the battle of Armageddon and destroying the battle armies of the Antichrist. And he says here in verse number 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Now notice what he says here. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, at the end of the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, Jesus returns. He defeats the armies of the Antichrist. He takes the Antichrist, that's the beast. He takes the false prophet, that's the false religious leader that leads the world in worshiping the Antichrist as God, as a false god. And the Bible says that these two are cast into the lake of fire, the lake burning with brimstone. Now, if the people who believe that you're tossed in there and burnt up like a piece of tissue paper are correct, then that should be the end of them. It would just be their smoke ascending up forever and ever, if their interpretation is correct. But notice what we read as we come down through chapter 20. Chapter 20, the devil is bound for 1,000 years in the pit, the bottomless pit, 1,000 years. People say, well, what did God really mean there? Well, in chapter 2, he said he meant 1,000 years. In chapter 3, he said he meant 1,000 years. Chapter 20, verse 2, it says he means 1,000 years. In verse 3, it says he means 1,000 years. In verse 4, he says he means 1,000 years. In verse 5, it says he means 1,000 years. In verse 6, it says again 1,000 years. In verse 7, again, he talks about 1,000 years. And people say, well, how long did he mean? Well, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7 all say 1,000 years. I kind of think he meant 1,000 years, and that's what he meant. Well, it says, and when 1,000 years are expired, verse 7, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea, and they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven. And then notice this in verse number 10. Remember, the Antichrist and the false prophet 1,000 years previously were cast into the lake of fire. And it says here now in chapter 20, verse 10, this is at least 1,000 years later, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It didn't say where the beast and false prophet were and that their smoke would go up forever and ever. It said that they're going where the beast and the false prophet are and that they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so 1,000 years goes by, the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet are still there being tormented day and night. 1,000 years plus goes by, the devil's placed there, where they are, and they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. The lake of fire is eternal. It's not being burnt up as a piece of tissue paper. And all liars have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, how do we escape that? We escape that by turning to Jesus Christ, realizing that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, came into this world, lived the perfect life that we can't live, kept the law that we can't keep. He went to the cross and he paid the price that we can't pay. He shed his blood and he died in our place to pay for our sins for all eternity. He died, he was buried, He rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, confess your sin, believing that he paid it all, you can have the forgiveness of sin. And God will not look at you and see your lies, your murders, your sorceries, your idolatries, all your sin. He'll see the righteousness of God himself that he placed upon you when he justified you, when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And you'll be able to go into heaven, and instead of the lake of fire, you'll be in heaven for all eternity. Well, we encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior, and if you've got questions, give us a call, and you can even contact us off air, and the information will be coming up, and we can help you find a good church. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got George on the line, and George, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing?
Good. Great to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, I got a question. There's a scripture that says, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. That's in 2 Corinthians, and let me turn over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writing there.
Well, when it says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, what is it that goes back to the Lord after the body deceased?
All right, that's a very good question, and that gets to the very nature of how of what we're made of, how we're composed, how God created us. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us create a man in our image, and then it says, in the image of God created he them. And in chapter 2, it gives us the details. It says that God formed the body of Adam from the dust of the earth. That's one part of our makeup, our physical body. And then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
All right.
Yeah. And the breath of life, that's the spirit. And then it says he became a living soul. That's your intellect, your will, your emotion, that part of you. And we're in the image of God, because remember, we've got God as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit, that's easy to understand. Our spirit would be that the equivalent of God the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're created in his image. The Son, God the Son, is the physical manifestation of God. And so our body is the physical manifestation of us. If we were to meet and shake hands, it would be our physical manifestation, our body, that would be shaking hands, right? And, of course, the spirit and the soul is inside of that body. And then that leaves us with the soul. That would be the equivalent of God the Father, the will, the intellect, the emotive part of our being. And so when we die, we're absent from the body. That means our spirit and our soul are separated from our body. And as a believer, our spirit is alive in Christ, and so our soul and spirit go to be with the Lord in heaven. The unsaved person, their spirit is dead, and so it can't, in the sense that it has no relationship with God, and it goes along with the soul into hell, and it can't be in the presence of a holy God. Now, that's the beauty of the rapture when you talk about the return of Christ, and where it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. I have to wrap this up because we're running out of time real quick here. It says that Jesus brings those that preceded us in death with him, and then their dead bodies are resurrected. That soul and spirit is reunited with that dead body. And so the soul and spirit's in heaven. Hope that answers your question. I'm out of time here tonight. Thanks for the call, George. And thanks for all of our listeners. Sorry, Grover, we didn't get to you, but God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.